Hi, this is Gavin from FE News. I'm here at the AOC 2019 Annual Conference. I think this must be my 15th Association of Colleges Annual Conference. So join me as I chat with the main speakers from the stage, some interesting people from the breakouts, and some interesting people in the audience around the latest news and views from AOC 2019. Hi, this is Gavin from FE News. I'm here at the Association of Colleges Annual Conference, and I'm here with Mark Dorr from AELP. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thanks. It's always good to be here and meet old colleagues from the college sector and talk to many other people as well.
So, Mark, let's dream big. What could the system of the future be?
And I think you've said an important thing about the system. We need to talk about the FE system as a whole, because there are lots of players in there. And they have all have their strengths, and you know, we're not saying every college is one thing and every independent training provider is one thing, but they certainly have core strengths across their part of the sector. So if I'm generalising, generally, and this is why ITPs are so strong, their employer engagement is incredibly strong. And let me emphasise again, I'm not saying colleges aren't, but on average, the ITPs are better. They're focused on those employers. They're constantly talking to them, right from the managing director down. And that's why, you know, they're so strong in apprenticeships and other work-based learning. You've got community providers who, you know, are right in the sort of the roots of community, finding the disengaged learner, getting those disengaged learners. Very flexible, mobile in the way they deliver, as are the ITPs with employers. And then you've got the colleges. You know, they're sort of iconic in each area in terms of big building, you know, somewhere to go for full-time classroom-based learning in vocational, particularly 16 to 18, particularly those sort of foundation tiers up to level two, particularly LLDD. You know, those are really strong areas. So if we take all those bits, then surely we can look at an area and say, right, how can we bring these together in a positive partnership to make the system work? And a positive partnership means that people are side by side. It's not a contractual relationship where one is more powerful than the other, because that's where it goes wrong. ITPs complain about colleges switching off subcontracts. Colleges complain about universities switching off subcontracts. You know, if there's a power relationship like that, then everyone moans, even though they're doing it to other people. So that's my system as a whole. When I was a college principal, I always thought that one of the things that should be looked at, not necessarily for every college in every sector area, is if you've got a great provider. Let's take electrical, JTL, who do a bit of this already, then surely the colleges should be having them delivering their electrical, and that around the country they can then provide a service to national employers as well. And every sector, you could have one or two big sort of quality providers, could be independent or colleges, delivering in those colleges. And that way, you know, we're it's going back to sort of vocational centres of excellence or whatever, but saying these are the people who are brilliant at this, they've got amazing resources, amazing teachers, etc. So that, it wasn't that brief, but that's my view of how it's collaboration rather than competition and contractual, but that takes a massive shift in the way the system's run and how independent different parts of the system are treated.
Thank you, Mark. That's really interesting, looking at around, you know, collaboration and you know, working together. You've been on your travels a bit this year. You've Australia, United States. What can we learn from the different systems across the world?
So I've had the privilege, really, to be in California, actually Russia with World Skills, and then Australia, so I've seen it from all angles in a way, and obviously World Skills is a great place where 60-70 countries are coming together, so you get conversations about different systems. I mean, the first thing I learned is everyone's dealing with the same problem, you know, and skills are always considered sort of secondary to academic, but actually are high up on the agenda for employers and the economy. So everyone's struggling with that. And actually quite surprising, the US and California, they're quite a long way behind us in terms of developing apprenticeships in particular. And very much sort of in the early days of planning a system, their funding systems with federal, state, and how that works is very complicated and different as well. So I think they learnt a lot from us, particularly around our standards, around the levy, things like that. But we certainly took away some things around the relationship with employers over there and the potential actually for employers to pay full stop. Australia was really interesting because I suppose they mirror our system a lot more. They've got the TAFEs instead of FE colleges. They've got registered training providers like ITPs. The biggest thing I took away from Australia was the vocational delivery in schools. So it reminded me of the increased flexibility program that we had here, where schools were paid for a day a week to go to college, send kids to college. And when I was a principal of Oakland's, we were doing that, and we had hundreds in every week. And the schools were saying, actually, that one day kept them engaged for the rest of the week. They understood why I had to do their English and maths, things like that, because they were doing their bricklaying and needing the English and maths as part of that program. They, in Australia, basically every child has the opportunity to access that sort of program. It's brought into the school often. And the other thing is, I was getting the feeling that was the best form of careers advice you could get, because all these children were going out to different employers, experiencing the workplace as part of their program, all coming back and talking to each other about their experiences. So not only was there some learning there, not only was it what they keep calling soft skills and I want to call meta skills, the key skills about work, they were getting those as well. It was engaging them in the rest of their curriculum, and it was giving them the best careers advice they could get. So to me, that was the big thing I took away. The other big thing in Australia is they don't have exam boards, assessment organisations. So each training provider issues a certificate. So there's a sort of set standard, but it's assessed by that training provider. And there's not really, there's a bit of checking, but not really. And I think that's dangerous. I would say that having run an exam board, but actually to have a quality mechanism sitting over all providers, I think is quite important. So that was one we were giving to them, in a sense, and I think there's opportunity there.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Why not click subscribe so you can be informed when the latest next individual podcast or podcast mini series from FE News are going to be released.